Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening live to an edition of the Philadelphia Phillies Alumni Podcast with 1980 World Series champion Warren Brewster, sponsored by the Tug McGraw Foundation. Todd Corder, along with Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, of course, Warren Brewster in Napa Valley, California, Napa Valley, California. Good morning to all. It's been an interesting week for the Philadelphia Phillies. They seem to be treading water like everyone else in the National League, except for the Diamondbacks and the Giants are 7-3 in their last 10, and you see a bunch of teams at 5-5, including Philadelphia. And Warren, good morning to you. What is the reason why Philadelphia keeps treading the water at the 500 mark at this point in the season?
Good morning. It's their pitching. I think they're really struggling. They haven't got consistent starting pitching. Zach Wheeler pitched real well his last outing, and they can't stay. Four or five runs, six amount of games, and play catch up, and then they win two or three, and then they lose two or three. They're just a 500 team right now, which most of the teams in the NL are. You know, the Dodgers are 10 games over, and they've lost.
We seem to have trouble with Warren's phone here from Napa Valley, California. We seem to have trouble with some communication here. I'll go ahead and go to you, Mark. You know, when you look at this Phillies roster, I, from what I can gather, Warren was telling me that the pitching has been the culprit. You look at the Phillies lineup, I tell you what, the Stott at the leadoff position is really, really good. I watched him play in Atlanta last week. He had three stolen bases in one game, sprays the ball over the yard, makes good contact, doesn't strike out a whole lot. That seems to set the table for the Phillies lineup.
Well, I'll tell you, and you know, when you look at them in the National League East, they're only 6.5 out behind Atlanta. I mean, they're closer to last place in the division as they are, you know, trying to leapfrog three teams. New York and Miami are ahead of them. But I think the big problem that I noticed with, you know, the Phillies this year is they're just not getting the timely hits. Trey Turner is just not hitting like he did in L.A. I don't know if he's just dropping his shoulder a little there or something, but it just seems like the stance is a little off. Schwarber is batting like 190, but he's got like 12 home runs. So, you know, go figure that stat. I mean, and we know Schwarber's going to heat up as we get into dog days of summer. But, you know, Harper's trying to find himself, came back early from the Tommy John. There's no Hoskins in the lineup. And the most consistent guy other than Stott, I think, is the guy that, you know, is mainstay and probably the best catcher in baseball is JT Realmuto. So I think the Phillies need to address something at the trade deadline. They better get some, you know, more starting pitching in there because Wheeler and Nola, you know, it's, you know, not just them. They need to get more guys in there to shoulder the load and to compete with some of these teams like the Braves and Mets. And I think that's the biggest surprise. I mean, is the two teams that are ahead of them, not so much the Braves, but the Marlins and Mets have got to be a surprise, Todd and Warren.
Yes, definitely. I expected more out of the Mets with Scherzer and Verlander, but they just kind of win two, lose three.
Yeah, we seem to have trouble there with Warren.
Yeah.
You know, to me, Mark, it's the pitching of Philadelphia. Warren's correct. Other than Nola and Wheeler, this is a team that is struggling to get starting pitcher. Walker gave a good effort last week in Atlanta, but you know, this is a team that is thin on starting pitching, and eventually it's going to wear the bullpen out. The bullpen is not bad. Kimbrel, what got his career 400 save last week, and you know, only of eight have ever done it in Major League Baseball. But eventually, if your starting pitching does not come around, and Warren will tell you this, Mark, there's just no way a team's going to survive unless they go to the acquisition to try to get folks, or bring someone from the minors and hope that hits, or you're just going to wear your bullpen out and you're going to continue to be where you are at the standings. It's a good thing, Mark, that Atlanta right now is struggling. They lost two to the A's, and that just tells you in Major League Baseball, any given day you can get beat by any given team. And if Atlanta continues to tread water where they're at, it's going to allow time for the Phillies and the Mets and the surprising Marlins to hang in the division race.
Oh, no doubt about it, and that's the big thing. And when you look at baseball across the board, look at the Central. It's a dogfight from top to bottom. Milwaukee, 4.5 on the last place Redbirds there. Look what the Reds are doing, and it's just simply amazing. I'd like to dive in, if I can, to what this interleague is. A lot of people aren't big fans of it, but we're starting to see reminiscence of World Series. We saw this past weekend the Dodgers were in Tampa. We're seeing shades of 75 with the Reds and Red Sox in Boston. The Pirates and Orioles have played this year. I mean, are you a big fan of that, Warren and Todd, when you look at it? Because I love the interleague, and I like the influx of more games this year.
Yeah, I think the interleague is baseball. Yeah, you know, there's no doubt. You see teams that are playing each other that you only saw in the World Series in the past, you know, get a chance to see everybody play each other every year. So it's going to be really good for baseball. It makes some really intriguing matchups.
Well, and speaking of intriguing, last night I caught the Reds and the Red Sox, and you would thought it was all over. Cincinnati was up, 9-1, 8-0, and then they had to hold on and bring their closer in the ninth inning to close it out. And you know what stands out to me is that this McLean kid for Cincinnati is playing really well. But another thing that stands out is you were up all these runs, and yet you had to bring in your closer to get the out. You know, down the line, that stuff could potentially hurt you. You really need to close games out so you don't wear out your pen. And Warren, you know that more than anything, being a starting pitcher in baseball, you guys went more innings back in the day than they do today.
Right, right. We had a four-man bullpen when I pitched in Philadelphia, and then man bullpen, you know, and we did all the work. You know, we didn't have a position player ever come into a game. So it was, you were ready to pitch every day, and you pitched multiple innings, you know, and it's not the way it is today. It's a totally different game as far as the bullpen's concerned. They have matchups, and they go ninth inning guy, so they don't expect more than five innings out of a starter. You know, a real good starter, I'll give you six. And then, you know, so the bullpen is ready to pitch every day. So, you know, if you're in the ball game, that you're going to be in the ball game if you're a quality reliever.
Well, you know, Mark, I mean, and Warren, Mark, I guess go first. You're going to watch the Phillies. You're going to see where they are by the All-Star break, and you know Dombrowski's going to make a move. This is a gentleman who never fails to make a move. He did it in Detroit. He did it in Florida. Wherever he goes, he's going to do it. And, you know, it looks like to me the Phillies are going to contend. I don't see anything wrong with the lineup. They're going to hit. They're just going to have to get some help in starting pitching somewhere. But the thing is, do the Phillies have help in the minor league system to allow them to make the trade, to make a potential trade down the line?
That'd be a big boost to the starting staff. And you have another Nick Abel.
Mark, go ahead. We lost.
Well, and I think, you know, that's rightfully so, and you bring up some great points, but when you look at the system and, you know, in baseball is like what the Dodgers are doing right now, they're starting to bring those kids up from the minors, and I think they might have the second best farm system in baseball, the Dodgers. I think the Pirates were number four. The Padres at one time had one, but then they depleted it by getting rid of, you know, after guys to Washington in the Soto trade. But, you know, I think what the Dodgers are doing is really extraordinary because they're bringing those kids up, mixing them in with the veterans, and they're getting them seasoned and getting a few, you know, at-bats and pitching under their belt, the Bobby Millers, the Outmans, stuff like that. I think that's going to be the interesting thing, and I think more teams need to do that. Now, as far as the Phillies, when you look at what they need to do, and we talked about you talked about Dave Dombrowski, he's like Trader Jack McKeon. He'll pull the plug here, and he'll do whatever it takes to get the Phillies back in the World Series again and hopefully win it. But I'll tell you, they've lost a lot of guys. I mean, the one guy they gave up on, guys, and he's been a mainstay in Houston, is Neris. And I like Neris a lot. I liked him with the Phillies. They didn't know how to use him, I guess. But he's gone to Houston, and, you know, Dusty Baker's plugged him right in there. I think he was on a streak where he didn't even allow a run in over, like, 30-something innings.
Well,
yeah, he's always had a good arm.
Yeah.
Well, guys, when you talk about the needs for the Phillies, we mentioned it, starting pitching. They're going to need a frontline starting pitcher. Those just don't come on trees. I mean, there are guys out there they could potentially get at the deadline. But also, this is a team that, you know, this playoff window is just not opening. I mean, Zach Wheeler and JT Realmuto are 32. Castellanos is 31. Bryce Harper and Schwarber are at 30. Trey Turner and Nola will turn 30 late this summer. And, you know, so this isn't a young team that's going to be in its prime for a long time. This is a team that, you know, Dombrowski will like because he is an immediate guy. He doesn't think about the future as a GM. He spends the money and then so be it from there. But when you look at it, they also need not only – they need a starting pitcher taking the ball in a postseason game, number one. They need a back-end starting pitcher, number two. Guys like Eduardo Rodriguez, who just went on the IL for Detroit, stand out. You know, they're going to have to look at clubs that are not going to contend. I don't see Detroit contending, even though they're close. But also, they're going to need a right-handed bat and ideally a corner infielder. Your thoughts on that, Warren?
They need to play three spots, a big lineup. The guy that they were really dependent on. And, they definitely need don't grow on trees. They're tough to find. A lot of those guys, and if they don't, you know, if they're going to trade, they're going to want a lot more, you know, because they realize that these are definitely starting. They are trying to build, like the Tigers and teams that need a few more players. They're going to hold you ransom to try to get what they can get from you.
All know the injury that started all this for the Phillies. You know, Hoskins said in April he's holding out hope of joining the Phillies for a postseason run. But given that he tore his left ACL in late March, that's pretty unlikely to me.
Well, I've got a question coming out of Pensacola. I'm sorry.
Go ahead,
Pensacola.
Warren. Well, Schwarber did that, you know, when the year the Cubs won in 2016, tore ACL and came back. Boy, he went through a lot of rehab to get there, you know, and it's not too likely. It's very difficult to do.
Go ahead, Mark.
Well, I'll tell you, we got Lance coming in from Pensacola, Florida. He said, I've heard this show quite a few times. I'm glad that the quartet is back here in the mix. Todd, what happened to the Braves? This is a team that could probably win 40 games in Oakland and shatter the record and probably lose 135-something games, yet they beat the Braves two in a row. Go figure.
Look, I mentioned earlier on the podcast, any given team can beat anybody any given day, any given time. These are Major League Baseball players. Go check out some of the back of the baseball cards on the Athletics lineup. They have some players that have done, that have had some good history in Major League Baseball. Yes, their pitching is their major problem, and it usually is for a team that's only won 12 games. But the worst Major League teams are going to win between 40 and 60 games, and the best Major League teams are going to win between 90 and 105. That's just how it goes. Atlanta has lost two in a row. I saw this cracked me up from a local media guy here in Atlanta, a prominent individual, and he said losing two games to the A's is worse than getting swept by Toronto and Houston. I'm going, no, it's not. That's two losses. They can come back and salvage one game today. What's worse, getting swept, losing six, or losing two? It's all about math. Everybody's going to win 60. Everybody's going to lose 60. It's what the hell you do with the next 40, Warren, as you know.
Right. That's what it takes. You're going to lose 60. You're going to win 60, and then the other 40 games are what matters. So, you know, that's just the way baseball is. And you go through ups and downs. You have peaks and valleys during the season. And, you know,
well, you know what, Warren, on that note, I'll be in Oakland. I know Labor Day weekend. I'm hoping to run into you out there. I know the Angels and Jays are out there, but I've been on the outside of that stadium, so I haven't been in the inside of that place. But it just seems like when you watch that game on TV and everything, this ball club has just kind of fallen off a cliff, and I don't know what Vegas is going to do to resurrect it, but it just seems like, you know, when, you know, Bob Melvin left and guys started leaving there, and look at the guys that have left Oakland. You could form an infield with it. The Olsons, the Muncies, the Simeons, the Chapmans. You'd have the best infield in baseball if those four guys were still in Oakland. It just seems like this is a AAA, maybe a AA team. And at 12-45, this guy in Florida brings up an interesting point. They can shatter the record. They might lose 140 games. That's embarrassing.
Well, the record is, what, 140-something losses by the Mets, one in 60, early 60s. Detroit threatened it in the early 2000s. They threatened it. I mean, everybody says this when team gets off to a bad start. Oakland should start winning games. I mean, it is tough. We all know the team's moving. The atmosphere in the stadium for A's games used to be electric. I mean, it used to always be that way. They were just a contender not long ago. They played the Tigers. They had some epic series with the Tigers when Detroit was making its run with Jim Leland. Oakland has a lot of baseball history, and it's a shame the Athletics are going to move to Las Vegas eventually. But you're right, in terms of contender, Mark, the A's aren't going to contend for a while. I mean, you can only fix a leak for so long before the dam breaks open, and they have ran out of their farm system, their pipeline of players that they used to bring up on a regular basis to patch everything up and contend. And Warren, right now, the pipeline is gone, and it's going to be a struggle for the A's, whether they're in Vegas or in Oakland, for a long time.
Right. It's, you know, their problem is putting people in the seats. It's got to happen when 2,500 people come to your game. You know, that's where it starts with attendance. So you got to have money to pay your organization.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Warren. I mean,
you know, so if they go to Las Vegas,
right?
They got a chance.
Todd brings up a great point too, because as we're getting this show going, I know there's technical difficulties, so bear with us. But Todd and Warren, this is a proud franchise. This franchise has put three World Series in a row on the map. and they see this thing slip right off the cliff here, I think what's going to end up happening is I think they'll play next year in Oakland, and then they'll figure out somewhere to play it in the backwoods of Vegas till that new stadium is built. But let's face it, you know, the Raiders can't even draw in Vegas. And that was the big thing when they moved there. They go, and, you know, teams like the Bear fans and everybody are buying tickets up to come and see that. They'll do the same thing with the A's. The only thing that can survive in Vegas is your own thing that you built up, which is the Las Vegas Golden Knights. So, I mean, I don't know where, you know, they should move this thing to Charlotte or somebody that's never had a team, rather than move it in the Vegas where you're going to, you know, who's going to go see that thing if it's, you know, a team that's just piss poor, to be honest.
Yeah, right. You know, you got to win. You got to put a winning product on the field in order to draw people. New stadiums, when they're first built, draw people want to come and see the stadium. But if you're on the field and win, people quit coming. You know, that's been proven over and over again. You know, so they're just but right now I think they're desperate for just to move anywhere just to get out of Oakland. They needed a ballpark.
Well, Warren's correct about the winning. It's all about the winning, or the majority of the fans aren't going to come. There are only a few franchises in Major League Baseball where they still show up whether they win or lose. The Cubs are one and the Red Sox are another. Those are two iconic stadiums, and they seem to be able to draw. But places that, I mean, I don't even know what the Braves would do here if they started losing. Would they continue to draw in the new stadium? I know they have the Battery as an attraction, and it seems to, you know, keep it going. We'll see if it does if the Braves start losing, but I don't see Atlanta losing for a while because they're the opposite of Oakland. Their farm system keeps churning out one kid after another, and then speaking of that, they're going to churn one out today when they play the A's out in Oakland and avoid the sweep, which, like everybody said, they're all shocked. And I'm not shocked because anything can happen on any given night. You got any more caller information there, Mark? Anybody, any other comments?
Dalen from Chelmsford, Mass. said he's bypassing sending the brooms to Atlanta for you, Todd. He's sending them to Oakland because the A's will sweep the Braves out of town, and the A's are playing in their World Series.
Well, you know what? I mean, technically speaking, when the A's are going up against the Braves or the Yankees or whomever the upper echelon teams are, it is their chance to play spoiler, and it is their playoff because the franchise is not going to the playoffs this year. And, you know, let's get back to the Phillies once a moment. This is a here for a moment. This is the Philadelphia Phillies alumni podcast with 1980 World Series champion Warren Brewster. It's sponsored by the Tug McGraw Foundation. Todd Quarter, along with Mark Mancini, who's in Los Angeles, and I'm in Atlanta, and Warren's in Napa Valley, California. And guys, let's get back to the Phillies. You mentioned, Mark, earlier in the show, Trey Turner struggling. You know, he's got the big contract. He came over from the Dodgers. He played well for Team USA in the World Baseball Classic. You know what? I think eventually good players always come around. And Warren, Trey Turner is going to come around, and when he does, it's going to make that Phillies lineup even better.
Yeah, there's no question. He's going to, it's a matter of time before he gets back. You know, pressure on his contract. You know, a lot of times players slow start. Too much pressure on themselves, and I think he'll settle in and be productive.
That's true. And Mark, look at it. I mean, the Phillies are going to hit now. They've got Bryce Harper back. Again, it comes down to the guys like Trajan Walker in the rotation. He threw he was on short rest on Sunday afternoon. He only threw 40, you know, pitches. I mean, this is something that the Phillies you know, it's something they're going to have to get on track. If they're, well, they're going to contend, they're going to have to get not only innings, but some quality wins and, more importantly, I mean, quality starts and, more importantly, wins for the Phillies to contend. It's going to come down to 3, 4, and 5. And who are they going to get, you know, get it from? Walker did well last week in Atlanta when I was at the game. You know, he got, what, 6, 7 innings in. But, you know, you look at this depth chart, they're going to need it from Suarez. They're going to need it from Kobe and et cetera. So, you know, the bullpen is good. It's been good. But to me, it's the back three guys in the rotation are going to decide this season for the Phillies.
Yep. Less than 4 minutes left in the show. Barry, a big Tiger fan coming in from Novi, Michigan, says he will be going to see the Tigers in Philadelphia in a week or so, and then he'll be watching what the A's are doing to the Braves. The Braves come through Detroit the middle of June. He'll be going to that series. So that's amazing. As the Braves are trekking through some of these uncharted cities of the American League.
Yeah, they'll be in Cincinnati soon, too. I thought about going up there and watch the Reds play the Tigers. Speaking of the Tigers, Green is to the IL with a stress fracture in his fibula, and his bat has came around for Detroit. The thing is, the Tigers just don't have enough horses in the barn. They've got 4 guys on the IL, and it's your top 4 guys on the IL, it's really hard to contend when you're already thin as it is. And Torkelson's bat, he's starting to come around. He's in his mid-20s in the RBI category. The average is low. It's in the 230s. But, you know, the Tigers, I mean, it's amazing where they are. And again, we said last week on the show, it's a major testament to their manager that they're still in it because of everybody else in the Central. Both Centrals, the AL and the NL, are mediocre right now. Somebody's going to come out of the pack and play well and win it. The question is, I expect it to be the Twins or Cleveland. And I tell you what, I'm going to say it now. In the NL, I like what the Reds are doing. They're starting to bring up reinforcements. This team, if their top three can pitch well and consistent and they're young, Cincinnati may be in this thing till the end because the Pirates have fallen off after the 28 starts. St. Louis is still sputtering its wheels. And in Milwaukee, I just don't think they're going to hold on. The NL Central is really up for grabs, Warren. Or Mark. Mark, go ahead.
Yep. As we get into 2 minutes and change, I just want to get Austin coming in from Sugarland, Texas. He said, guys, you guys talk about all your teams. The team that will be in the World Series is the Texas Rangers. Look at what they've done. They went steamrolled through Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and they're about ready to take out the Tigers again. Keep your eyes. This team has scored more than 10 runs in about 6 games this year. Bochy is going to lead the Texas Rangers to the World Series. Wow.
Well, you know
he might be right.
Texas is a contender. I mean, I truly think they're the best team right now in the American League, and thanks for chiming in. We appreciate that. You look at that lineup, and it was relentless, 1 through 9. Simeon, I mean, my goodness. Of course, Corey Seager, I mean, holy smokes, this Texas team is deep, and despite Jacob DeGrom, not healthy, Nathan Eovaldi and company have really done really well, and Texas is getting pretty good starting pitching from Eovaldi, Gray, Haney. I mean, Perez is holding his own. So if DeGrom, and that's a big if DeGrom comes back and he can pitch effectively, this team, along with Tampa Bay, will be the two toughest outs, along with Houston, in the American League.
As we wrap this thing up, take it away to wrap it up, Todd. And I know we'll be back on next week.
Yes. What time will be on next week? You mentioned it. I know this is a different time. What time's the show next week?
It looks like we'll be on next Wednesday, if that
works.
So
we're going to be on Wednesdays, right? And then what time? Like at 10 o'clock Eastern, correct? Or, I mean, yeah, 10 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah, that looks like it'll be the thing what we're looking at.
All right. For Todd Corderlund with Warren Brewster and Mark Mancini, hopefully we'll fix the technical difficulties with Warren next week. Thanks for everyone for listening in. We'll start bringing in some guests. This has been the Philadelphia Phillies Alumni Podcast with 1980 World Series champion Warren Brewster, sponsored by the Tug McGraw Foundation. Till then, talk to you next week, everyone. Have a great week, and go Phils.